Good evening, Calvary.
It's good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. I'm going to show y'all what the deacon's presented me with, or at least one of the deacons. And I'm not going to tell you what Teddy, well, I won't tell you which deacon said it, Teddy. They got me this little thing from my desk. It says, for the pastor. And I thought, that's pretty cool. Somebody got me a pastor. Teddy said, I want you to see how fast that thing can be removed. That's what they did to me in the deacon. I said, praise the Lord. Gotta love your church. That's what they did. So then, as soon as they showed that to me, they said, I'm going to show you how fast we can remove that thing. It's good to laugh. Bible says, merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Pray for the churches that are without pastors this evening. There's a few of them still around that are looking for a pastor. I read on the Facebook, of all places, that Brother Seth Sisloff was the new pastor than where Brother Gwen Anderson was at. And you pray for that church. Brother Seth's a great preacher, great man of God, and he's got a great ministry. He's got a wife and kids. They play the piano. His little girl's about like Macy. She just bangs that thing out about 9 or 10 years old. And just they love the Lord, and I believe it'll be a good fit. If God's in it, I know it'll be a good fit. But they need a pastor. Brother Gwen's just not able to serve anymore. So you pray for them. And Cherry Grove will sure miss them. I'm telling you that. I know that. But it's good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. Do pray for the Badgett family. Like I said, we went from here to Westfield and back all in the afternoon hours. And while y'all were sleeping, we were probably driving. But pray for Brother Gary and his family. His brother Jack will be driving back to South Carolina. I want to read just a little bit of that scripture. I'm not going to take anything away from Brother Chris tonight. But it was in the 16th chapter of the book of Psalms. And this is the scripture that the Lord put upon my heart for that funeral over there this afternoon. And it simply states in 16th chapter of the book of Psalm, verse number 5, David said, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. And my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me course, my reins, and also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is my right hand, and I shall not be moved." How many times is the word me, mine, all that factor in there? I'm telling you what, make sure that he is yours and you are his. Tonight, remember Brother Woody, Brother Steve mentioned that, mind the Lord, Brother Woody, that's his statement. He always says, just mind the Lord. Woody needs our prayers this evening. Even though he was released from the hospital, that does not mean that Woody's healthy. So you pray for Brother Woody and also Miss Jeanette. And the only one connected to the church right now that's still in the hospital is Sister Jean Potts. I know, well, Greg's daddy's still in there. Greg's mom and daddy both were in there this week. Greg's daddy's been moved over to the ICU unit, so you pray for Greg Wingler's dad. And then also Paul Jones' mama. His mama got to come home this week. Cindy's daddy remains in rehab over at Wilkes Villages, and we've still got Sister Ruth and others in the nursing home, and just different things going on. God knows the need. Miss Mary's still recovering at home from surgery. Brother Steve was here this morning, but he's still recovering from surgery. We could roll out a whole laundry list. Come on up here, preacher. Brother Kenny is going to be up at Harmony the whole month of December. They've asked him to help him up there. They're needing a pastor. And they called on Brother Kenny to go up and help. So he's there. He was there this morning. And he'll be there tonight. And I guess all through the whole month of December. So you pray for Brother Kenny. Well, I miss him. He's a cheerleader sitting on the front pew of the church. He's rooting me on. And I sure do miss him when he's not here. But it's our duty to pray for these men of God. And you pray for Brother Chris tonight. You ready? Do I need that bell? Are you good?
No. I won't be up here long.
Anybody need this?
Good evening. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight.
Man.
Hope you've been praying. I told several, I think before I left, I said I won't be up here long, so y'all just pray for me, and I don't want to be a liar, so I won't be up here long. I'll be up here as long as God will allow me to be, and I don't think it's going to be a long message. It's going to be kind of a piggyback message from what the pastor preached, and just following up with what he preached. And who remembers what he preached on this morning? I hope you do. What did he preach on?
Go ye in all the world.
Go ye into all the world. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I began to thinking about that. I don't know, but whenever he was giving the people come up here, and Lester and his family came up, and we was voting on them, and I sat down, I was writing down a little things, and the Holy Ghost brought to my mind some of the things, and things along the lines of what he was talking about. Go ye into all the world. A lot of people, the first word he said, the first word we see in that is go. But you know what a lot of people see? They don't see the word go. John, what'd you say? No. They see the word no. But you know what? We need to see the word go. Instead of seeing a green light, they see a red light. They say no. No, I won't go. But you know what? We need some church members that are willing to have a willing heart. Someone's that willing to serve. Someone to step up saying, you know what? If they want, I will. If they don't do it, I'll do it. If you don't want to count on them, count on me. I'll be the one to do it. I'll do the little things. I'll do whatever you have me to do. We need some church members like that. We need some people on the pews like that. Someone willing to work, having a willing mind to serve the Lord. Get in there, do the dirty things. Do the little things that get overlooked. Why? Because we're not doing it for them. Right. We're not doing it for y'all. We're doing it for Him.
Amen.
You know, and that's why all that matters. Serving Him. I just want to ask you a couple questions tonight, kind of self-examine your life. And we're going to be kind of focusing on what He said, go. If God asked you to go, would you go? Would you look at God and say no? Would you go? Would you say no? Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter number 24. So, preacher, I don't understand where you're going. You hang on, we'll get there in a minute. Luke chapter number 24, we'll begin reading in verse number 13. When you find your place, please stand and we'll honor the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 13 says, "And behold, two of them that went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it would have been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And it says, verse number 22, Yea, and a certain woman also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it also, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and break it, and break, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? I'll stop right there. I ain't going to continue reading on. With God's help, I just want to ask you a little question about your heart. Does your heart burn tonight? Does your heart burn tonight? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to you once again. Lord, thank you for all your blessings. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come to your house once again. God, I pray you help me, Lord, as I stand, Lord, to preach your blessed word. God, I pray you anoint me with fresh oil. God, I pray you just hide me behind the cross. God, I pray you just help me tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I can't do anything without you. Lord, I don't want to be a powerless preacher tonight. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I can't do anything, Lord, but I can do all things through you. God, I just put a hedge about my mouth. Lord, I pray, Lord, I wouldn't say anything to be a hindrance to you. God, I pray, Lord, I want to be fully surrendered. Lord, I pray, Lord, I give you everything tonight. And God, I pray, Lord, just take me. Lord, if I'm usable, Lord, use me tonight. God, I pray, Lord, just give the people, Lord, ears to hear. Lord, not what I say, but Lord, what you say. God, I pray, just transform me into another man tonight. Please, Lord, I pray, Lord, just have your will, have your way. God, I pray, just draw us a little bit closer to you tonight before it's all said and done. Lord, we give you thanks for what you've done. We'll give you praise for what you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. As I began to think about what the pastor said this morning about go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, I began to think about that word go. So many times in my life, I remember whenever God was calling me to preach, and Brother, we was talking about that over at Haymeta Baptist Church, I was sitting on the front row and God began to stir in my heart. He said, I want you. And I kept coming up with reasons and excuses. Lord, I can't do that. I don't know how to say it. I don't know what to do. I can't do this and I can't do that. And you should do this and you should do that. And I was trying to reason with God. And you know what? You're never going to get anywhere with reason with God. You're not going to get anywhere trying to figure things out. God's not in this let's make a deal of business. He's in the obedience business. He wants you to obey. He said that obedience is better than sacrifice. He wants you to obey. He don't want to hear your suggestions. He never asked one time what I thought about anything. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for somebody to just submit, willing to do what he wants us to do. I remember sitting over there in Haymeta Baptist Church on the first pew, and I said, Lord, he said, you remember what you told me? Whatever I gave you back, your joy. I gave you back all those things. And you know what I said? Lord, I remember everything. He said, I want you to preach. I got up and I just crumbled. I don't remember anything he was saying, except there's somebody that's holding out. There's somebody that's not coming. Preacher, that was me. I was on that front row. I believe you remember it. He's shaking his head. I was there. I was trying to push away God, but he said, I want you. And finally, I just broke down and said, God, I don't know how, but I'll do it with your help. God, I can't do it, but you can do it through me. And I surrendered there to the call to preach. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm still trusting him that he'll do something through me and for me and with me, and I'm thankful for that today. But are you willing to go, or are you going to tell God no? Too many times I believe we've already made up the answer. God doesn't even have to ask the half the church tonight. Why? Because you already have an answer. You already told God no, and he ain't even said go yet. This ain't even in my notes. I don't know where that came from. But are you willing to go, or are you going to tell God no? What's your heart saying? You might say, preacher, pastor, if there's anything I can do, I'll do it. Pastor, I'll do this, I'll do that. You might say it with your mouth, but you know what? God's not interested in what you're saying. He's interested in what your heart says. You might be saying, pastor, I'll do anything. And then your heart's saying, man, I hope that pastor don't call me. Man, I hope he don't look for me. I hope he don't ask me what I think about that. But you know what? God don't look at your words. He looks at your heart. If God asked you to do something, would you be willing to do it? Would you do it? Are you willing to go? Are you going to tell God no? God help us. As I begin to think about that message, go and no and all that other things, we try to push it off on everybody else. Well, God, why don't you let them go? Even Moses said, you know, why don't you send him? He's a better speaker than I, and I can't do this. God, he's a more fit. He's more qualifying. You could use him better. He looks better. He's taller. He's all this other things. But we just need to stop making excuses and just submit. You say, Lord, if you can use me, use me. God, if you want me to do it, Lord, I'll do it with your help. And just learn to submit. Learn to obey. You know, this the Christian life, I know it's complicated. It's up and down and in and out. I mean, as we go through trials, we're just like Joseph. We're in the pit, and then we're in the palace, and then we're in the prison. I mean, we're up and down. But you know what it all comes down to? Is just taking him at his word. Walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter what we see. It's all about what we trust and what we have faith in. We have faith in him. You know what? I might not understand it, but you know what? God doesn't command me to understand it. He just commands me to believe it. I tell you, that's what faith is. Faith is not being able to understand. Faith is something you can't explain. Faith is something you just have to trust. Just put your faith in it and walk. Can I tell you, that's the way you trust God. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. I tell you, are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to have faith in God? If God told you to go, would you go? Would you tell him no? See, I believe the average church member looks at God and says, God, I'm not going to go. God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not telling you God's going to call you to preach. I'm not telling you God's going to send you over there to Africa or anywhere else. You know, he might send you across the street. He might send you across from the cubicle at work. He might send you down the road. I don't know where he's going to send you, but you know what? I guarantee if you're saved by the grace of God, God has a work for you to do. I tell you, I guarantee you their peace. Their houses around in this community that never been knocked on a door. There have been people in this county that's never been witnessed to. So, preacher, how do you know that? A couple of years ago, right down the road in a little trailer down here off the side of going up near Pawpaw's Barbecue, that area there. I'm not good with road names, but I know where the places to eat at. Pawpaw's Barbecue, there's a trailer park over there. We went over there. I got one amen out of there. I knocked on the door. Woman came to the door. I started talking scripture to her, and she just had a puzzled look on my face, or on her face, and I started telling her John 3:16. She looked at me. I said, "Have you heard that?" She shook her head. I said, "For God so loved the world." She said, "I never heard that." She said, "I've grew up here." She said, "I've been here for so many years. I grew down." I believe she was from Maryland. She moved down here. She never heard John 3:16. How sad that'd be. Just right down the road, a few miles between here and the hospital. That short a distance, never heard John 3:16. "Hey, church, we better get busy. I better get busy. There's people dying." She had cancer. Her mother died. She had cancer. You know what? I've not been back there yet, but you know what? I gave her the gospel that time. She was rude, but I gave her the gospel. I told her that. I gave her a track. You know what? There are people in this community that's dying on the way to hell, and it's up to us to reach them. Meanwhile, we're sitting on a pew saying, "Lord, I'm not going to go. Lord, I'm not going to go. No, no." But you know what? We need to have a heart that says go. We need to have a heart that says go. If God looked down from heaven today and looked at your heart, would it be a no or would it be a go? I hope whenever God looks at my heart, Pastor, I hope he sees a green light. I hope he sees a big old green light, me willing to go, instead of that red light saying no. I tell you, church, are you willing to go? Are you going to tell God no? I want to go. I want to do what I can. Why? Because he's done so much for me. You're looking at somebody, I deserve to be in hell tonight. I tell you, I'm not good. I'm nothing without him. There's nothing. You're looking at nothing good in me. But you know what? The only thing good in me is him. I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for all the things that he's done. I'm thankful I'm not what I used to be. I'm a changed creature. Hallelujah. I tell you, don't tell God no. Instead of just go and do what he says. Amen. Getting into the scripture tonight. Does your heart burn tonight? Are you on fire for God? Are you cold? Over there in Revelation, he said, "I wish you'd be hot or cold." He said, "Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of the mouth. He said, "I'd rather you be in or out." He said, "I don't want you to straddle the fence." He said, "There ain't no time for lukewarmness. That makes God sick." I wonder the average church person, does it make God sick? Is God sick of you? Is God sick with you? You know, and he said, "I'd rather you be hot." I tell you, church, we better get on fire for God. We better have that fire. Hear these people, Cleophas, he's sitting there with that partner with him. He looked over at him. You know what he said? Many people think it's Mary, his wife. I don't know who it is. All I know is there's somebody else there with him. I know Jesus was with him. That third person, I don't know. I believe we can put our people and we can put ourselves in those shoes. He looked over that person and said, "Did not our heart burn within us?" And he opened up the scriptures. He preached them to himself. Hey, church, has your heart ever burned for him? Has your heart ever burned? Has it ever been on fire? And is it the same tonight? Or is that fire bigger? I just had to say, I believe many times that fire is a little bit smaller. I believe those embers are dying out a little bit. I believe we'll have to go by and blow on that fire a little bit for it to spark back up again. Hey, church, we're going to have to do something. Don't give God no. Instead, tell him go. As we begin to look, I tell you, I won't only be up here a few minutes. All that was just my introduction. I've not even got to the message. We'll start the timer now. But I promise I won't be up here long. Does your heart burn today? And if you look at verse number 16, it says, "But their eyes were holding that they should not know him." If you drop down and look at verse number 31, it says, "And their eyes were open and they knew him." You see what happened before the heart started to burn? Their eyes were closed to the point they were holding. They couldn't see who he was. I believe God blinded them up and they couldn't really see who was walking with him, that third person. They was walking down the road. They were so caught up in the situation and the matter and they were sad. They was dealing with all that expressions, emotions of human emotions. They were walking down the road. And just something had them off. I'll go into a little bit of discussion on what was happening. But before they had to open their eyes before they could see who it was. And it says, and they knew him. You know what? Before we ever get to a place where our heart burns, our eyes are going to have to be open. We're going to have to see him for who he is. He's not just a Savior. He's my Savior. He's not just King. He's my King. Pastor, what you was talking about earlier, we're going to have to claim him for who he is. We're going to have to give him the rightful position upon the throne. Not in heaven. He already has that throne. I'm talking about the throne of your heart. That person that sits on there, it's not going to have to be yourself. It's not going to have to be your sins, but it's going to have to be your Savior. We're going to have to push all those things off, the things that are in our heart today, the personal sins, the selfish things that are in our life. We're going to have to push those off, get those off the throne of our heart. We're going to have to let our Savior, Jesus Christ, sit upon those things. Who has your heart tonight? Is it your sins? Is it the worldly things that you're chasing after of? Is it the things you're lusting after at work or at home? Or is it the things of God that you're lusting after? Are those the things you're chasing after? Are you trying to get closer to God? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying more? Do you have a soul winner? sinner's heart? Are you trying to lead those people to the Lord? Are you just out there living life for yourself? I tell you, I believe so many times, Pastor, I believe that we're guilty of doing the things that we want to do. We wake up, we get into a rotation that we go here and we do that and that. We got our whole life scheduled that we don't have no room for God. We don't have no room to get down and pray. We don't have no time for personal studying. We don't have any time to just get along and pray and seek after the things of God. We're just playing God out of this whole thing. But you know what? We need to get back to the old-fashioned days where men of God would just get along, pray and sought after God, get in that secret place, and go in there and just close the door, turn the lights off, and just pour your heart out before God, saying, God, I just need your touch. God, I just need your power. God, I need your touch to just go on. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in my life. God, I don't understand, but you know what? God, I'm still going to trust you. We just need to grow in there and just crawl in there, crawl before his presence, start ringing those prayer bells, and I guarantee you on the authority of the Word of God, God will show up. God will give you the strength. God will give you that fire back. God will give you that courage to go on for the glory of God, to make a difference and use you in this lost and dying world. But so many times we don't have time. Pastor, you wrote that in my Bible, busy being under Satan's yoke. So many times I believe we're guilty of that. You say, preacher, are you guilty of that? I believe I'm probably the most guilty in here. I go through things and I'm troubled and I'm beside myself and I don't know so many things in my life. But you know what? I don't need to allow that to hinder my relationship with God. I don't need to allow those things that come in there, whether it be emotional or stress or whatever it might be, sickness. We don't need to let those things come between us and our relationship with God. We need to push those to side, crawl into that place. Do you have a secret altar? Do you have that personal time? It might be when you first wake up in the morning, you might go to that secret place. You might just stay there and pray. I'm not talking about praying before you go to work or praying when you wake up. I'm talking about pushing it to the side and just get down on your hands and knees and just being there to pray. I believe you should pray before you eat. I believe you should pray when you wake up, when you go to bed. But I also believe you need to have a special praise, a personal altar. You just slide in there and you just cry and pour your heart out to God. Get along with God. I guarantee you, there have been times, many times, I'm not bragging on myself. God knows my heart. I'm just telling you, the Holy Ghost put this in my heart. There have been many times I come over here, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll go over there in that corner, right over there on them steps and just pour my heart out. Get along with God. Stay there. I don't know how long. I don't bring my phone. I don't bring nothing. I'll just get over there in the corner and just pour my heart out saying, God, I just need your touch. God, I just need your touch. God, I need your power. God, I just want to spend a little time with you. I tell you, I believe the average church member has nothing. They know nothing about getting along with God. All they know is we go to church on Sunday. We go to church on Wednesday. We bring our Bible. We read a little bit of scripture, but they don't have a personal walk with God. They don't have that one-on-one relationship. They don't have that communion. They don't have those things. And church, there's nothing like it. Preachers, there's nothing like it. I tell you, getting along with God. Just getting there with an open heart and an open Bible. And just sitting there and hearing from God. I tell you, if you hear His voice, you'll know His voice. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I tell you, do you know the voice of God? If He spoke to you. Pastor, I believe so many times God will tell us to go and we won't even know if it's God or not. I tell you, church, we need to be so close to God that we'll know His voice. And then we'll know what He says, and then we'll do it. I tell you, these people, their eyes were holding, but you know what? Their eyes were open. They saw Him. So, preacher, what else? What's going on here? If you go back and see what's going on. They were leaving Jerusalem. They were going about three score furlongs outside of Jerusalem. They were going down the way. I believe it's about 7 miles, if I'm not mistaken. About 7 miles outside. They were going down there, and they were reasoning themselves what happened. They were communing. They were talking together. That Cleophas and his guests, he was talking together about what things would happen just in Jerusalem. That Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was crucified. He died and was 3 days. And, the tomb is now empty. They were going down there. They were sad. So, preacher, that tomb was empty. I know, but that's not what they were expecting. They was expecting Him to come and set up His kingdom now, an earthly kingdom. He was going to overthrow and set up them and rule and reign. They was looking for a king. But you know what? He's getting ready to come back. He's not put the Jerusalem on hold. He's still coming back to the Jews. God's not done with the Jews yet. He's still going to come back. He made a promise with them. And he's going to fulfill that promise. But now He's focused on the Gentiles. Once He gets His bride, He's going to shift this thing back over to the Jews and focus on them. But you know what He's doing right now? He's focusing on us. He's getting the bride of Christ. And then after that, He's going to go back to them Jews and fulfill that promise He gave Abraham. But you know what? Their eyes were holding. But they were going out there. 3 score and 4 long, 7 miles. And they were talking about what just happened. I said, well, we thought He was going to do this. We thought He was going to come in power and set up His reign. We thought He was going to overthrow the Romans. We thought all this. It's not supposed to happen this way. Meanwhile, Jesus just shows up, starts talking. What are y'all guys talking about? Why are you walking around looking sad with your head hanging down? Don't you understand what happened? They looked at him and said, don't you know what happened? Are you a stranger? Hey, everybody's talking about what just occurred. He just was crucified and died, and the women ran down there to the tomb, and it's empty now. It's not supposed to happen this way. He's supposed to set up a throne. He was a king. We was looking for something. That didn't happen. They were so focused on their emotions. They were so focused on what they expected that they forgot to see who God really was right in front of them. Cherry Church, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in what happened, what we thought should happen, how we should expect things to go, that God will just show up, start talking to us, and look at us face to face. We don't even realize who He is. I tell you, that's what happened to them. Their eyes were holding, and they couldn't see Him. Then their eyes were removed. You know what Jesus did? He said, well, boys, we'll just go on. I'll go with you. You know what He started doing? He said, let me just preach to you a little while. Can you imagine walking 7 miles with the Savior and letting Him preach? You think I preach long? If I walked 7 miles and preach, that would be a long message. But He started with Moses and preached unto him same scriptures, starting with Moses, things concerning Himself. I wonder what He started with, talking about Moses being that deliverer, going down to Egypt, Egypt being a picture of sin and bringing them people out. I wonder if He talked about that a brazen serpent lifted up, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. I wonder if He talked about that Passover lamb, about that blood being applied upon that doorpost. I wonder if He talked about all those things. I wonder if He talked about Abraham walking up that Mount Moriah, and over there is Isaac caught up, and there, but there's a ram in the thicket. My God shall supply Himself a lamb. I wonder if He talked about all those things. And you know what? You know who that's talking about? Boys, that was me. He said, that was Jesus. He's the one. He talked, not concerning them. He said, the scriptures concerning Himself, concerning Jesus. Can you imagine hearing the word preached by Himself? That's probably the greatest preacher Himself, preaching the things about Himself.
Amen.
Can you imagine walking with Him? Can you imagine what type of fire was on the inside of their soul? Man, let's hear something else. Man, what happened next? What did Moses do next? They got that blood. And what happened? That destroyer came. He came through the land. He did that. And that's you. That's Christ. Went on and on and on. Finally, they got there to that town. And Jesus, He was going to go on. But you know what they did? Look at verse number 29. It says, as though He would go on farther. Verse 29 says, but they constrained Him, saying, abide with us. They constrained Him. Y'all looked up that word. You know what that means? Actually, beg. I said, no, don't go. If you ever been somewhere and you said, well, I better go. It's getting late. The person you're saying, no, wait. Just wait 5 more minutes. Or just stay. Maybe you just ate. No, I don't want any dessert. No, you got to try this. This is homemade. You got to try that. Well, I guess I might try it if it's homemade. Have y'all ever been there before? They're just getting ready to leave. It's late. And you know what Jesus said? Well, I'm going to keep on going. They said, no, why don't you come on in? We want to hear a little bit more about what you said. We like what we was hearing. Come on in. I tell you, church, how's your heart tonight? Is it burning? You're saying, preacher, I just wish you'd shut up. I wish you'd just be quiet. I tell you, is your heart on fire for God? The things of God? When they call for prayer, does your heart swell up? Do you have a prayer request? Do you have a secret prayer list? How's your heart? Is it on fire tonight? Is it cold? It should be on fire. It should be hot. I'll tell you a couple things and I'll be done about how you can get your heart back. They went on. And Jesus sat there and he blessed the bread. And he broke it and he gave it to them. I was talking to Preston about that. Some preachers said that whenever he gave them the bread, he broke it. He blessed it and broke it. And he gave it and he lifted up that tunic that he had. It pulled up. Hey, they saw the wounds and that opened it. But you know what I was thinking about that, Preston? It came to my mind. You know what I believe? He blessed it. I bet you it was His words. They heard what He said. If you could hear the Lord pray, wouldn't you know it's Him? Maybe it's what He said. And they said, amen. Is that Him? That's the one He's talking about. That's Jesus. And can you imagine there was those blinders being lifted? Saying, that's Him. He blessed it, break it, and gave them a piece of bread. Their eyes were open. Then He vanished away. You know what happened? No doubt it was late. Because it says it was evening. They went in, they broke bread and ate it. They blessed it. Then it said, look at verse number 33. It says, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. You know what that means? They walked 7 more miles back to Jerusalem. They just walked 7 miles and got home. They sat down and ate a little bread and they got up and said, you know what? Man, didn't our heart burn within us? We're going to go back. We're going to go back to where it started. We're going to go back to where it happened. Okay, church, where are you at? Are you in Jerusalem? So, preacher, what happened in Jerusalem? Look at verse number 49. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endured with power from on high." You know what they said? "We're going to go get some more of that." You see, this was on the opposite side. The Holy Ghost Pentecost hasn't happened yet, but it's getting ready to. You know what they said? "We're going to go back to where it happened. We're going to go back to that empty tomb." Hey, church, how's your heart tonight? You might have left and your heart was on fire and you traveled out. He said, "Man, didn't our heart burn within us? We heard him preach. We heard him pray. We broke fellowship. We sat down and talked to him. You know what? We're going to have to go back." Hey, church, they had to go back the same 7 miles back to Jerusalem. He said, "You have to go back the same way. You have to go back to him." How's your heart tonight? Is it on fire or is it cold? Are you indifferent? The things that move God's heart, does it move your heart? How's your prayer life? Do you have a burden for sinners? A couple things I'll give you. I'm not going to preach. I'm probably all over my time. But how's your burden? Are you burdened for sinners? Are you broken for sinners? I believe over in Psalms 126, verse number 6, it's talking about those that sow with tears the precious seed, they'll reap. I tell you, if you sow and reap, you sow with tears, is your heart broken? You'll reap one day. Are you going to reap the tears of those lost people you've been praying for and your hands and knees just crying out? God sees those tears. God bottles those tears up. I wonder if he has a thing up in heaven that says, "Tears for sinners." I wonder how your bottle will be. I wonder how my bottle will be. Lost family members. I wonder if they could put the name on there. Maybe it might be your mom or dad, brother, grandpa, put their name on there and said, "That's how many tears you cried for that lost person." I don't know, I'm just saying. I tell you, we need to have more tears. We need to be broken for the things of God. If we could just see into hell, just see the torments, hear the screams and the cry for agony. Send Lazarus. He may dip to some one drop of water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. If we could just see how real this thing is. I believe we're so busy. We got our own life. We have our own agenda. We're so blind to the things. We don't have any time for the spiritual things. Can I tell you, if we would just slow down and just see how real it is. I love what Jonathan Edwards said. He said, "Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs." If we could just see eternity. If we could just see what we do here will affect the life to come. The world to come. I tell you, what we do now will affect eternity. What are you doing for God? As we stand all over the house, Miss Macy, God said, "Done, I'm done."